This media has been brought to you by your friends at Remnant Publications. If you would like more of these powerful resources, please visit us on the web at www.remnantmediacenter.com or give us a toll-free call at 1-800-423-1319. We'd like to invite you to sit back, get comfortable, and prepare to be blessed.
Good morning. I have the awesome privilege of sharing something with you this morning that might encourage you, it might challenge you, it might cause you to think of the spirit of prophecy in a different and deeper way. I'd like to thank Remnant Rally for Remnant Publications and Dwight for inviting me here. It amazes me that God has chosen to work through faulty man to give the most solemn message to the world. To work through clay to present something that might intrigue a human mind and urge them and encourage them and even challenge them to have a walk and an experience with a God in heaven. That's a miracle to me. It's a miracle that God, and I don't know if you know my story or not, but God took me from a life that was a really bad life. I was raised in a non-Christian home where there was sexual abuse and there was mental and emotional and physical abuse, and it was a very bad slice of earth. And when I ultimately became a Christian, and maybe someday you can learn this testimony, but when I ultimately was introduced to Jesus Christ, I realized that the life that I had embraced and the worldly life that I had been living up till 24, 25 in my life, I'm now 40, and I can't even believe those words just came out of my mouth. Now I'm 40. And hopefully some of you are thinking, he's 40? Wow, he doesn't look like he's past his 20s. And that would be because of the information I learned called the health message long before I ever learned the message of salvation, actually. But it prepared my mind. You see, what God began for me long before I was even a Christian was a realization that to be a better person, not even a Christian, but to be a better person, that there were some things in my life that I would have to do away with. And so this morning, I want to focus on this part of the theme, the narrow way. Sister White has written some very powerful information that she received through a dream regarding the narrow way. And this morning, we're going to go through this in narrative fashion. I'm going to read her dream straight through, so it'll take me a few moments to do that. And then we're going to dive into its symbolic meaning. And this morning's message is entitled, The Narrow Way, and its symbolic meaning explored. We may not get through the whole vision, and then I invite you tomorrow afternoon to come, I think it's around 2 o'clock, to a music presentation that the Lord inspired me to put together, where I take the narrative, this very narrative we're going to go over, and put songs interweaved throughout it to make a music program and a journey for the Christian to go through. The Review and Herald, January 12th, 1869, and I will begin reading this in quick fashion, so listen quickly. I dreamed of being with a large body of people. A portion of this assembly started out prepared to journey. And while I'm reading, think of the different elements of it and think, I wonder what does that mean? Father, let me know what this means. In fact, let's have a word of prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit, and I would like to just pray a prayer of dedication for this broken vessel to be used. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we are about to dive into one of the two swords, I believe, that you gave us, the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, Father, as we use these two swords, I pray you would help us to wield them and understand them correctly. Lord, I ask that you would please bless us with the Holy Spirit. I pray you would hide me behind your cross. I am not, my name is on the program, Father, but that doesn't mean I'm the man of the hour. I'm not. Jesus Christ the righteous is the man of the hour. And Father, you have promised and you have said, now therefore go and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Lord, I claim that promise right now. And if you can speak through a donkey, I know you could at least speak through me. So please, Father, manifest this Holy Spirit that we each need to indwell in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I dreamed of a large body of people, larger than this, I'm sure. A portion of this assembly started out prepared to journey. We had heavily loaded wagons, and as we journeyed, the road seemed to ascend. On one side of the road was a deep precipice, and on the other side a high, white, smooth wall, like the hard finish upon plastered rooms. And as we journeyed on, the road grew narrower and steeper. Some places in the road seemed very narrow, so much so that we concluded that we could travel no longer with the loaded wagons. We then loosed them from the horses. We took a portion of the luggage from the wagons and placed them on the horses and journeyed on horseback. And as we progressed, the path still continued to grow narrow. We were obliged to press close to the wall in order to save ourselves from falling off the narrow road down the deep precipice. In doing this, pressing against the wall, the luggage on the horses pressed against the wall, which caused us to sway toward the precipice. And we feared that we would fall and be dashed in pieces on the rocks. Are you starting to get a mental image in your mind? Let the Holy Spirit do that to you. Let Him impress your mind. Let Him help you to see what this is about. And then we're going to go in and apply the spiritual application to the symbolic meaning. And right now, I'm sure the Holy Spirit has already started to impress your hearts about what this can mean. So, in doing this, the luggage pressed against the wall caused us to sway toward the precipice, and we feared that we would fall and be dashed in pieces upon the rocks. We then cut the luggage from the horses, which fell over the precipice, and we continued on horseback, greatly fearing as we came to the narrower places in the road that we should lose our balance and fall. At such times, a hand seemed to take the bridle and guide us over the perilous way. And as the path grew more and more narrow, we decided that we could no longer go on horseback with safety. So we left the horses and we went on foot in single file, one look following in the footsteps of another. At this point, small cords were let down from the top of the pure white wall, which we eagerly grasped to keep our balance upon the path. And as we traveled, the cord moved along with us. The path finally became so narrow that we concluded that we could travel more safely without our shoes, so we slipped them from our feet, and we went on some distance without them. Soon it was decided that we could travel more safely without our stockings, and these were removed, and we journeyed on with bare feet. We then thought of those who had not accustomed themselves to endure privations and hardships. Where were such now? They were not in the company with us. At every change, some were left behind, and those only remained who had accustomed themselves to endure hardships. The privations of the way only made these more eager to press on to the end, and our danger of falling from the pathway increased. We pressed close to the white wall, yet we could not place our feet fully upon the path now, for it was far too narrow. We then suspended nearly our whole weight upon the cords and would exclaim, "We have hold from above! We have hold from above!" And the same words were uttered by all the company in the narrow pathway. As we heard the sounds of revelry and mirth that seemed to come from the abyss below, we shuddered. We heard the profane oath, the vulgar jest, the low, vile songs. We heard the war songs, the dance songs. We heard instrumental music and the loud laugh mingled with curses and cries of anguish and bitter wailing. And we were more anxious than ever to keep upon that narrow, difficult pathway. Much of the time, We were compelled to suspend our whole weight upon the cords. And these increased in size as we progressed. I noticed that the beautiful white wall was stained with blood. It caused a feeling of regret to see the wall thus stained, but this feeling, however, lasted for a moment, as I soon thought that it was all as it should be. You see, those who were following after will know that others have passed the narrow, difficult way before them and will conclude that if others were able to pursue their onward course, that they could do the same. And as the blood should be pressed from their aching feet, they would not faint with discouragement, but seeing the blood on the wall, they would know that others had endured the same pain. At length, we came to a large chasm at which our path ended. There was nothing now to guide the feet, nothing upon which to rest them. Our whole reliance must be upon the cords, which had increased in size until they were as large as our bodies. And here we were for a time, thrown into perplexity and distress. We inquired in fearful whispers, to what is the cord attached? Good question, isn't it? My husband, she writes, was just before me, and the large drops of sweat were falling from his brow. The veins in his neck and temple were increased to double their usual size, and suppressed, agonizing groans came from his lips. The sweat was dropping from my face. I felt such anguish as I have never felt before. A fearful struggle was before us, and if we failed here, all the difficulties of our journey had been experienced for naught. Before us, on the other side of the chasm, was a beautiful field of green grass, about 6 inches high. I couldn't see the sun, but bright, soft beams of light, resembling fine gold and silver, were resting on this field. Nothing I had seen upon earth could compare in beauty and glory with just this field. But could we succeed in reaching it? This was the anxious inquiry. Should the cord break, we must perish. We must perish. Again, in whispered anguish, the words were breathed. What holds this cord? What holds the cord? And for a moment, we hesitated to venture forth. And then we exclaimed, our only hope is to trust wholly to the cord. It has been our dependence all the difficult way. It will not fail us now. But still, we were hesitating and distressed. Then the words were spoken. God holds the cord. God holds the cord. We need not fear. And these words were repeated by those behind us, accompanied with, He will not fail us now. He's brought us this far safely. And my husband, she writes, swung himself over the fearful abyss into the beautiful field beyond. And I immediately followed. And oh, what a sense of relief and gratitude to God we felt. I heard voices raised in triumphant praise to God. I was happy, perfectly happy. I awoke. What a dream to wake up from. No, put me back in there. No, we went through the narrow way. No, put me back. We were crossing over. Are you? Oh, I'm still here. What a hard job to be a prophet of God. I awoke and found that from the anxiety I had experienced in passing over the difficult route, every nerve on my being seemed to be in a tremor. This dream needs no comment. However, we will comment on it. It made such an impression upon my mind that probably every item in it will be vivid before me while my memory shall continue. Turn with me to Matthew 7. I hope you have your swords with you. Matthew 7. Powerful imagery, isn't it? What in the world does it all mean? Now, we're only going to explore some of it this morning. And the more that I have the opportunity to share this program around the country and around the world with God's people and without God, with God's people that don't know they're His people yet, I am amazed at how much deeper this vision becomes to me. and it gets deeper, and it's like the Word of God. Well, actually, interestingly enough, it was inspired by the same source, the Spirit of prophecy, amen? So anything that is of God will always have deeper meaning for us, and I know it because when your experience is so new, you have such a surface knowledge and such a, you don't have a depth of knowledge, and so when you read something, you can only get a certain level of spiritual education from it. But then you go back over it after you have amassed, say, more experience with God and more of His Word and understand more things. You can read the same text and it has a whole new depth to it. And so that's what's happening here. And our time is going so fast, I'm sure we're not going to get through all of this. Let's read Matthew 7 and verse 13. "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to heaven." Is that right? No, to destruction. I'm glad you have the same version I do. "And many there be which go thereat." And so it's saying there's a lot of people on the broad way. And I hope there's no one here that's in the broad road, on the broad way, on the, if you will, interstate to hell. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." There's going to be a bunch of people still going through that gate. No. "Few there be that find it." Spiritually speaking, friend, one is the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. The other is the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Now notice that the narrow gate, the narrow way, this is where there's going to be few that actually find it. So it's not ever going to be, according to God's word, the majority that finds their way to heaven. That's what this is saying. Can we agree with that? Is the interpretation sure? I believe so. You know what's interesting, though? I notice that it's this way in our towns and cities of today. And in practical illustration, most people only like using the broadest roads in town. They only want the interstates. They only want the most efficient means of getting from point A to point B, and they don't really care about how they get there and who's on the path with them, as long as they can get to where they need to go, where they want to go, as fast as they can go. So many efficient type A personalities like myself, we do like efficient travel. We like efficient everything. And so if I can find a road that I've been frustrated, I must be confessed, I've been surrendered, but I have been frustrated. I guess that's a contradiction in terms, but with all the road construction going on around here, I haven't found a street yet. And I declared to my friend who was in the car with me driving over this morning, I need to find out which road doesn't have road construction from Hampton Inn to here. And every road I'm going down, I'm like, is the whole city under construction? This is highly inefficient. So in our cities, there are large arteries that make the flow of traffic very efficient. But friends, I want to declare to you, in this world, the devil has paved a way to make going to hell very efficient. Hello? And if we were to sometimes just get off of that Broadway that's just so easy to get on, the habit of getting on and going into the sin-filled life, you catch the illustration here, catch the application, and we're so easily taking the on-ramp to the broad road in our life, day to day to day, because we've developed a habit of getting on the broad road, we don't realize the blessings that there are in the narrow road. You can get to a whole different destination, by the way. You'll find a whole other group of people, by the way. You'll find little stores where they actually make good, wholesome food instead of the fast food of the world that are all located, of course, off of the broad road. And the application is whenever we're going through and following the masses, my friends, there is so much temptation and sin all around the broad road that it is impossible for us to be saved. We have to take the off-ramp off of the broad road, take the on-ramp to the narrow way that leads to life. Amen? Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. You see, I'm not a preacher. I should say I'm not a trained preacher. I'm not even a trained singer. And God says, go out and preach and sing. Okay. Yikes. It's pretty sad if God's got to scrape at the bottom of the barrel and use someone like me. But you know, I'm just a man who is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have a testimony, you can't be quiet. You need to go out and testify. Amen? Amen? Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? By the what? Three of you know it. By the what? The word of their testimony. You can't have a testimony if you're on the broad road, at least a spiritual testimony. That's not the testimony the world needs because the whole world is there. They have the same testimony. The testimony is, look, I've taken the off ramp. I got off the broad road. I'm on the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Oh, it's still got, you know, road construction everywhere like it does here. But you know what? Those are just obstacles. And if we stay surrendered, Jesus helps us to navigate around or sometimes through those obstacles. I don't think the car rental agency that I rented the car from knew I would be four-wheel driving in the middle of a city in mud and water and going, I hope that is a shallow pit of water. Otherwise, we're calling a wrecker in. Jesus navigated us through and I got here. Praise God. And so it is. If we allow Jesus Christ to help us to navigate through this life, we will arrive at our destination, our heavenly destination, safely. Amen. I don't want to follow a multitude to do evil, as Exodus 23:2 tells us. So whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not, every person on God's good earth is traveling on one road or the other. There is no middle road. If the only thing you take away today is the wind of doctrine that's blowing through our church today is that there's some sort of middle ground. There's some sort of middle gray area. Friends, that is a lie of the devil, and Jesus Christ has explained it very clearly. He said, if you're not hot, if you are not cold, if you are lukewarm, I'll let you into heaven. No, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, if you're on the broad road and you choose to be there, I'm not going to force you to get on the narrow. I will respect your decision. I don't like it because I know where it's going to lead you. But if that's your choice, you can be on the broad road. I would prefer that you're on the narrow road. In other words, I prefer that you're hot. You're on fire for me. You're moving and being actuated by the Holy Spirit to go out and witness for me. I prefer you're on the narrow road. But because you're somewhere in the middle, this is what he said. It's not a legitimate pathway to heaven. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. It is either you are for God or you are for Satan. Period. If anyone else says anything else, they are preaching to you another gospel. That's a sobering thought. So the question to ask ourselves right this moment, which would be apropos, would be this. What road am I truly on? Am I on the broad road humoring myself that I'm on the narrow road because I happen to show up on the right day of church? Because I happen to show up and pay some tithe? Friends, you can be on the broad road leading to destruction going to church on the seventh day. But you can also be going to church on Sunday and being on the narrow pathway. Hello?
That's right.
Chew on that. Oh, ye Adventists. But did you notice in the vision, Sister White said, there was a large body of people, but only a portion was prepared to journey. Only a portion was prepared to journey. There are many professed Christians today that are prepared to, that some are prepared to journey and some are not prepared to journey. So how do we prepare to travel? Typically, long before we actually get on the narrow way, spiritually speaking, the Holy Spirit has worked diligently on our hearts. In fact, Evangelism 2:83 says, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince the soul of its need of Christ. So long before you have a successful Bible study, long before you even have that interest to say, yes, I'm willing to study with you, the Holy Spirit has already been at work, my friends, in that soul. That's why they're open. Amen. They see their need of Christ according to the Word of God. Once this is accomplished, when the soul sees he needs Christ, then he begins to seek, or she begins to seek for answers and acceptance. Is there someone else that knows I have a need, and do they have any answers? And then let's read on in Evangelium 2:83. Let the soul look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. No one will be forced to look to Christ. But the voice of invitation is sounding in yearning entreaty. Look and live. In looking to Christ, we shall see that his love is without parallel, that he has taken the place of the guilty sinner. He has imputed unto him the spotless righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. Man, that's a miracle. That's a blessing. When the sinner sees his Savior dying upon the cross under the curse of sin in his stead, beholding his pardoning love, love awakens in his heart. The sinner loves Christ because Christ has first loved him, and love is the fulfilling of what? The law. The repenting soul realizes that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once the sinner has placed his trust, my friends, in Christ, asking for forgiveness, his sins, forgiveness for his sins, the way he's lived his life, the bad choices, even the wrong perspectives he's had, and ask God to impute the righteousness of Jesus to him, at this point, the sinner has become forgiven and has taken the off-ramp, the off-ramp off of the broad and destructive way that leads to destruction, to death eternal. That's the moment when that sinner says, "Oh, forgive me. I didn't see that. I don't want that life anymore." God says, he just says, "You know what? Here you go, right over this way. Come off. There's an off ramp. You're taking it right now. Please forgive me. You're forgiven. Well, I'm I'm on the narrow way." Can you say amen? Amen. Have you done that this morning? Because how often should you die? Amen. So are you on the narrow pathway this morning? Anyone? Oh, praise the Lord. Anybody on the Broadway this morning? There's a couple going, I think so. Well, you know, listen, we need to see whether we be in the faith. So the moment the sinner gets on, maybe you were on the broad road yesterday, you woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit, you see your need for Christ, you see your folly, you see you've gotten back onto that on-ramp on the Broadway that leads to destruction, and you went, "No, how did I get here again?" You know what I'm talking about. And as soon as we say, "Lord, I want you, I need you, I give my life to you," it's like the indicator light goes on, And Jesus clears the way. We don't even have to look if there's any obstacles around us. Can you say amen? Because there is no obstacle the moment you say, "I'm coming to Christ." I believe without a shadow of doubt that God puts a hedge of protection around that soul and says, "We are moving him off of the Broadway. He is now on the narrow way. Let's go." So today, when we go on a road trip with a specific destination in mind, do we leave without supplies or a plan? Some do, and they don't even know where in the world they're going to wind up, and they just want that experience. I would not like that experience. Some people do. God bless you. Yeah, type A's, no way. I need to know where I'm going, what time I need to be there, how it's all going to play out, and when things start interrupting that, it's a perfect opportunity for me to grow patience. We don't leave. I don't. I hope you don't leave on a journey unless that's the purpose of the journey. But friends, God has not left us without a plan, without a roadmap. He has said, "Look, I have given you a specific roadmap that leads to heaven." Because, friends, if we fail to properly prepare for any journey, we will most likely never get there. Or it will take a ridiculous amount of time to get there. Right? For example, if we didn't put fuel, we failed to prepare. If we didn't put fuel in the tank, how far would we get? Well, if the destination exceeds what's in the tank, you're not going to get there. Right? So friends, if we don't plug into Jesus Christ, if you will, and be fueled by his grace, fueled by his word, fueled by the Holy Spirit, my friends, if our tank is not filled up, we will not complete the journey. If you got filled up last month, I guarantee you, you're running on empty. In fact, you're not even running. You're not. Every day, the tank has to be topped off. Can you say amen? Amen? All right, you getting the point? Does that make sense? So God's grace, God's power, the Holy Spirit is the fuel. It is the energy, if you will, that the Christian needs to be on this journey. You know, a vehicle is not made to be parked in a garage and left there. Some people do that, and I think it's a waste. A vehicle, its very purpose before it was created was to move people or cargo or something from one place to another. Now, each one of us are on a journey. We're either on a journey of the broad road, we're on a journey of the narrow way that leads to life. This experience is of this vessel, earthen vessel, tangible flesh, to convey me, my spirit, my soul, the essence of who I am from this place. It was made for the very purpose of bridging the gap, the gulf that's there, to be with God and to worship God. That's what I'm designed to do, to have a worshipful relationship with Jesus Christ. Not this love little, oh, I love Jesus, he's my... That's not what this is. This is about having an abiding love from the Holy Spirit, about having an abiding principle, God's word, God's laws written in our flesh that becomes spiritual. So when we see the spiritual law in front of us and his name is God, we say, I'm already yours and you're already mine. And he says, I know, come over here. We've really lessened this relationship thing. We never go without directions or a roadmap. At least, I think properly prepared people don't. And friends, I want to tell you right now, this Bible and the spirit of prophecy are the roadmaps. They are the roadmaps. And some want to throw out one or the other or both. And God at the end of time said, my people need a more clear, if you will, a more detailed map. And so I will give them the spirit of prophecy. I will give them this beautiful gift. If you are not convinced and you do not know that Ellen White was a spirit-filled Christian led by the Holy Spirit of God to write what she wrote under the unction of the Holy Spirit, then you just don't happen to know something that I know. And it's the best kept secret in Christendom. It shouldn't be a secret, but it is. And my whole goal is to say the Bible and the spirit of prophecy are not to be a secret, but a blessing for God's people. Yeah. I don't go, Ellen White wrote. I say, Ellen White, a prophet of God, wrote. Amen. If someone has a problem with that, it's just because they don't understand what I understand. That's okay. It's as much as I would say, John wrote. Oh, now here we go. No, we're not going there this morning. That's a whole nother conversation. The Word of God is our roadmap. And we can get on the road and stay on the road with purpose and determination, knowing that we will arrive at our destination. In fact, Jesus has promised each one of us that he will lead the way while we're on this narrow pathway. He will guide us around, sometimes through, different obstacles or roadblocks that we might encounter. He has already traveled to heaven, friends, and he's already traveled back. So guess what? He knows the way. Amen? Amen? It's always better to travel with someone who knows the way. Okay, am I going to follow some fool that doesn't know the way to heaven? Well, a lot of us are. Or am I going to follow Jesus who already knows the way to heaven? He already understands the narrow pathway. In fact, he already knows that thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. We all know that's where Jesus Christ is right now ministering on our behalf. Right. mediating on our behalf. And so if Jesus already knows, get this point, he already knows because he was born of a babe. Imagine that. The King of Kings, the creator of all, lays off his crown, sets aside his scepter and goes, I will go become like them. Even lower than some of my creation, the angels. And in fact, he even tells his angels, I will have to rely on your power to get me through. There will be times when I need you to help. You, the creator? Yes. Whoa. So he knows the pathway through this physical being. He knows the pathway as a baby, as a child, and as a man, tempted in all points like as we are, yet with victory. He's been on the road of hard knocks. Do you get it? And he says, not only did I die, which was what's going to happen to you if you don't follow me, but I will die for you, and I will go up into heaven. I will be at the right hand of God. And not only that, I will go into the most holy place and minister for you. So friends, the roadmap has been laid out from birth all the way into the sanctuary. Amen. And if we follow Jesus, guess where we get to go? Right into the sanctuary. Wow. Me? Yeah. If I follow the leader. He knows the way. He's already done it. So friends, we must take with us on our journey spiritual supplies. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, our attending angels, and other Christians, and those who do not know Jesus. We must take them with us and teach them. We must be prepared. Did you notice we got to really move fast. I've got 17 minutes. I'm on page 7 of 16. It's not going to happen, I think. They had heavily loaded wagons, and as they traveled, the road ascended. So what did the heavily loaded wagons represent? Could it symbolize that we are so spiritually prepared that we have to take something with us to carry our amazing spiritual load? No. The heavily loaded wagons, I believe, are a representation of the cares of this world. They start out heavily. You know, we can still get off the broad road because now this talking about them who are on the narrow road. So apparently, at the beginning of our experience with Jesus, the road is wide enough to take me as I am. Amen? Take me as I am. So the road is wide enough to bring all of my baggage. And in my case, I had a bunch of emotional baggage and because of all the treachery I went through as a child. So I had great emotional baggage. And I brought all of that with me. I had worldly problems. I had preconceived ideas. Everything that you could hump into and lump into a wagon. I had a wagon train, okay? When I came, the road was wide enough to hold my wagon train, okay? And so when I got on that, I took off the broad road. It was really easy on the broad road. But then you get over here on the narrow way. It's like, whoa, that's right there at the edge. But at least I'm here. And so they had heavily loaded wagons. So is your garage or closet or your paid-for storage unit heavily loaded with things that you need? If you're paying to store stuff, there's something wrong. I tell you, there's a lot better use for your money. And the junk that's, and then what happens is you go through it all and you go, oh, wow, it's like Christmas again or whatever. They go, look, I forgot we had this. If you forgot you had it, that means you haven't used it in the last, 37 years. You probably don't need it. My wife and I go on 2 annual cleanings in our home. I'm serious. We're about ready to do it again. We're going to have another yard sale in about 2 months. Next month. And we do this twice a year. At minimum, once a year. We go through, and if we have not used it in a year, we're not going to use it the next year. We sell all that, and we roll it right into the ministry. Amen. It not only frees you, it helps you unhitch the wagon. Hello? Amen. All right. So, we got to move on. So, as we journeyed, there is a deep precipice on one side and a high white smooth wall on the other. So what does the deep precipice symbolize? Quickly. The world. Okay. Exactly. So the on one side, the deep precipice, it is the world, I believe. And on the edge of the narrow way is the cliff that if we get too close to that edge, the devil's there who wants to snag us. And we can fall off of the narrow way, off the pathway to heaven, and back into the world. The white wall. The white wall, I believe, is symbolic of Jesus and his righteousness. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. So then it continues on. The road grew narrower and steeper. What's the significance of the road growing narrow and steeper? Yes, it's the difficulties of the Christian life. Not only does it start wide and become narrowed like this, there are narrower places in the road. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just it's wide and it narrows, and so you can't keep bringing your preconceived ideas, even religiously or whatever. You can't bring all the things of the world with you. It does represent that, but there are even narrower and even steeper places in the road. And friends, we've all experienced that. As we go through this day in life as a Christian, we see there are many obstacles that could beset us. Sometimes Christians do, they see an obstacle, and instead of pressing close to the wall, going around it, which we know the righteousness of Christ, Jesus Christ is the white wall, we go around it this way toward the world. That's a scary proposition. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So whenever we come to an obstacle, friends, it might be a steep one, it might be a narrower one, think of this. The closer we are to Jesus Christ during the whole pathway, even how narrow it is, you're still walking on a narrow way anyway. But if you're used to walking on the edge, what can I get away with and still be an Adventist? What can I get away with and still be a Christian? As soon as it narrows, do you get the point? You know the story of the man who was looking for a driver for his carriage. And he was looking for the best. He was a wealthy man. And he said, I want a good driver. I want you, and he told, he had three different people, as I remember the story, and he says, I want you to take and drive me as close as you can to the edge of that ravine there, that cliff, as we go along that windy mountain, and show me your skills. So he's riding in the carriage, he's right there along the edge, and that man was within 12 inches the whole way. And he said, you are a fine driver, I'll let you know. The next man, he was even better. He was driving within 6 inches of the road, going as fast as he could. He never fell off. He said, you are an amazing driver, I will let you know. The third man comes through. He's going slowly and carefully up against the wall. And the other guys are going, we got this in the bag, man. Oh, this is crazy. Look at that guy. He said he won. And the man got the job because he was as far away from the cliff as he could be to where it was safety, because that man knew he had a precious cargo and he needed to get that cargo safely to the other side. And that man, that rich man said, I hire you. Because you understand, and I can trust you to get me there. Friends, Jesus Christ is not about helping us and wanting us to get to the edge and see how close we can come to the world without falling. He wants us up against his righteousness, accepting his love, accepting his power, accepting his life, accepting his commandments, accepting his lifestyle standards, and being as close to him as we can. So the end of the path, the cliff is over there, not right here. Amen? Yeah. So, sometimes it's very difficult, very difficult. Narrow places in the road. 1844, man, that was steep. That was narrow. Jesus' death, that was narrow for the disciples. That was tough. And our experience as Christians will sometimes, we will have to, when it seems that the road has fallen out from under our feet, or that the road has gotten so steep that we can't pull the load anymore, we have to realize, you're right, we can't pull the load anymore. And what Jesus wants us to do is to cut the load off. Cut the sin and the world off. It is much easier to go and climb uphill on a steep, windy road if you don't even have a backpack on. So what are you holding on to? What's in your life that is making the narrow road so difficult you have even stopped? You can't even progress anymore. Think, what's in your life? I don't know. God knows. The Holy Spirit knows. That's what's important. That's why we don't have priests where you go and you confess your sins to a man. A man can't do anything for us. What's in your life? Is your wagon so heavy that it's going to take an entire beast of burden? Or maybe are you that beast of burden trying to carry the wagon of stuff in your life? Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Has someone hurt you and violated you like they did me when you were a child? Jesus wants to cut that away too. I can tell you, I was a messed up guy emotionally. I didn't know how to love. I couldn't be loved. I didn't accept it. Anybody even came up to me who wanted to hug me, it was like, whoa. Especially if a man did, because I was molested repeatedly by different male figures in my life. And for Jesus Christ to literally cut all of that out of my heart to where I'm like the huggiest guy around now. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's a miracle. Every hug, I'm like, ha ha, in your face, Satan. And praise God. Amen. Because there's power in the gospel. There's power on the narrow way. So yes, it starts wide, but it does narrow. Are you willing to take God at his word? Did you notice that some of these Christians were not willing to let it all go? They took some of the stuff off of the wagons and put them on the horses. And that's some of us. We're not willing to give it all to Jesus. We got to take some of it. We need to have this. We need all this money in our bank account. We need all this stuff. We need a big house. We need big cars. We need airplanes. We need this. We need that. No, we don't. We need Jesus Christ. Amen. He will supply all our needs. And we're hoarding all this stuff. And we're going, why is it so hard for me to get to heaven? Duh. Are you hearing me this morning? Page 9 of 16 and 8 minutes left. Whew. As they progressed, it says. Now notice they're still progressing. But some are running, if you will. And some are going, with all the cares of the world. Even though we have different struggles, friends, we are still progressing if we are on the narrow pathway following Jesus. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's easier. Sometimes there's just a reprieve. Sometimes the narrow pathway does flatten out sometimes. I've noticed that as well. We have to press close. It says here, as we progressed, the vision continues, the path continued to grow narrow. So it never gets wider. It just keeps getting narrow. And we were obliged to press close to the wall, close to Jesus Christ, in order to save ourselves from falling back into the world off of the narrow road. In doing this, the luggage on the horses pressed against the wall. So in other words, anything, any sin, any preconceived idea, anything, even theological ideas, anything that presses against the righteousness of Christ will cause us to sway toward the world. So friends, let Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, uproot everything that he needs to in our life so we can press close to the white wall, to Jesus Christ. In doing this, the luggage on the horses pressed against the wall was caused to sway toward the precipice. So in other words, everything that we have in our life that we hold on to, that's not for our good for the journey, it inhibits our journey. Does that make sense? It comes between us and Christ, and it comes between us and our internal inheritance. Look at it this way. When whatever we hold on to in our life that Jesus doesn't want for us, it is something that Satan can wrap his rope around. Uh-oh. Did you catch that? Whatever we hold on to in our life that is not of God, it gives the devil permission to put his rope around that thing. And if we hold on to that thing, and he's going to pull, because we're not holding on to Jesus' strength for him to keep us on the road anymore, because we're walking and doing it the way that we want to, whatever that thing is, television, sports, a million things, you name it, internet pornography, whatever it may be, pride, blah, 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 a million things that you're trying to hold on to that it's not for our benefit and the journey. Satan has access to that thing, and if we're holding on to it, he's down there underneath the cliff, and he's going, and we're going, man, this is really tough. Why can't I walk with the Lord? Because we're holding on to the things that God said, don't you hold on to it. That makes sense? Is that visual? So the question is, what is in your life that the devil does have his rope attached to? And he, by the way, do you think the devil just goes, dink, dink? We'll get him off like this, dink, dink. Have you noticed the devil's playing for keeps? Yeah. The devil's playing for keeps. So what is in our life that we're holding on to? Because here's, this is so awesome. This is the gospel, by the way. As soon as we go, guess what happens? There goes the devil back into his den. Right? Think about it, friends. What is in your life that you're holding on? Because if you hold on to it, you are not going to overcome a supernatural foe. He's way stronger than you. He's buffed. And he's going to pull you down. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is an equation, by the way. That is a power to unlock anything that you need in your life to overcome. And we're wrapping up here, and we only got to about page 10 of 16. So, submit yourselves therefore to God. What does it mean to submit? How do you submit as a Christian? Let go. Definitely. Let go of what? Everything we've been talking about so far. How else do you submit? Every day, every moment. That's how often, absolutely. How do we submit? What would be a very easy act of submission that we all know? Yes, pray. That's right. Yes, amen. So here's I'm gonna give you a prayer of submission that will unlock heaven's storehouse. I have found a prayer, and if you pray it just like I'm gonna pray, it will unlock everything. Now you have to get it right though. And there is a technical way. You have to say the prayer in the right way to unlock heaven. There is a method to this. Are you ready for it? Do you wanna know what it is? Because if you want to stay on the narrow pathway, if you want to unlock every single thing you need to keep you on the road, you have to know this prayer. Are you ready? Okay. I would suggest you get in the proper prayer position. Okay? That's a good one right there. And here's why. I believe. If you're like this, it's kind of like standing on one leg. And the devil can come and push you over pretty easily. But this moment that you center your gravity a little lower. Let me do it over here. You get down a little lower like this. You form almost a tripod. Amen? And it's difficult for the devil to push you over now. Your center of gravity is lower, and you're in a humbled position. And so when you pray this big prayer, it's going to work for you. Here's what it is. Ready? Here we go. Pay attention. It's pretty long, too. Ready? Help! Amen? Is that a legitimate prayer? Help! Now, if you pray it just like that, and you say those words, all those words, heaven will be emptied to help you. That's called surrender, submitting to God. It's not just asking for that, but it's also submitting to his will. And when you say help, and he impresses your mind with where you need to change, where you need to get off the broad road and get on the narrow, then you say, I will. Because the next part of the scripture is, submit yourselves therefore to God. And the next part is what? What? Resist the devil. If you try to resist in your own power, you're going to fail. That's why it starts with submission. And that's why it starts with the connection. That's why it starts with that prayer. And if you say, help, you're asking for the power to overcome. And it gives you everything that you need. God will not withhold one thing that you need to overcome. So you start with submitting. You start with surrender. And then you are given the power to resist the devil. Can you say amen? Amen. And guess what happens on the third part of the scripture? And the devil will flee from you. Right back down where he belongs. I wish we had more time because we're out of time. This is the only time I get to speak to you. But you know what we'll do? We'll interweave some more of the symbolic meaning in the concert tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Friends, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that every man that believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, God bless you. I love you. And may your names remain in the book of life.